da 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 da. Yes, that is Victoria's Tears Getting Sober, one of the favorites to win the Eurovision Song Contest 2020. Sadly, she did not get to go, but she has been reconfirmed, and she has started drip-feeding her short list of songs. In this week's podcast, we're going to kick it off with a discussion of Ugly Cry.
Yay!
We're going to head over to Germany, where Ben Dolich says he will not sing at Eurovision 2021.
There's always Slovenia.
We go to Russia, where Little Big have confirmed that they want to go back, and they are submitting songs for the selection.
I bet they've got so many songs to choose from.
Norway's Melodi Grand Prix has announced a new format. They're going to have a wild card round, so people who like it wild, yeah, like it wild, can have a shot at the final if they didn't make it the first time.
And I love the fact that it's going to happen regardless, because they're planning for all types of scenarios.
The EBU has confirmed that it is asking all Eurovision 2021 acts to pre-record a live performance in case something goes wrong with this year's show, aka if Miss Rona interferes.
That's one show that we may never get to see.
The Eurovision 2021 semifinal allocation draw is done, and by that I mean they've copy and pasted from Eurovision 2020. We'll discuss who's singing in what semi.
It's not broken, so why fix it?
And the FIC 59 songs are out. There is a lot of buzz coming out of Albania.
Albania will keep buzzing until May.
And as ever, we will chat with our new music editor, Jonathan, about the hottest new releases from the world of Eurovision.
His ears are just tapping into all the 43 music markets.
Ears open, eyes open, hearts open. Devin, are you ready? Devin Adarumi, let me just say, an ugly cry has never looked so good. Victoria has released a new single, and she has revealed that this is one of the songs on her shortlist for Eurovision 2021. They are having an internal selection. Writing on Twitter, she said, "It's time to answer the burning questions. Yes, Ugly Cry will be one of my potential Eurovision 2021 songs and will be part of Bulgaria's internal selection for Rotterdam." This song comes with a music video that is so cinematic. It looks like it was taken from Game of Thrones. We see our queen receiving her crown. There are fires. There are mummies. It's not a haunted house. It's some kind of haunted saloon from the old world. It's just very mysterious, very magical, and really fits with her vibe, the sort of dark art pop. Personally, this isn't the winner of Eurovision 2021, and I don't think they'll ultimately choose this, but what I love is the quality on show, the thought, the fact they went and crafted this expensive video. It all shows her ambition and her drive. It fits into her oeuvre, and I'm just really proud of her.
You see, I agree with absolutely everything that you've said, but I also like the fact that yes, it's not going for, well, we don't know yet whether it is going for Eurovision 2021, but it's being considered. So even if it doesn't go ahead, it's not a throwaway song. They've done a lot with it, you know, and it really, yeah, God, it's difficult not to repeat what you said, but it does fit in with her repertoire. And I like the ease about her. This song has a lot of depth. It is talking about fame, and it's talking about how fame can change you. And, you know, tell me that you love my better side. Tell me that you respect what I do. But at the same time, I'm a human with all sides and all different sides. And all sides of me also demand your respect. And yeah, I like it. Did you find yourself, because we reacted separately due to Corona, did you find yourself having to press the repeat button, you know, after watching it, just to find, because there's just so many layers to this song?
Oh yeah, I wanted to rewatch it just without myself blabbing, because sometimes when you're doing a reaction video, you have to talk, right? And so you aren't fully taking it in. And so I rewatched it a few times, because I think it's like a little movie. I really like that. She said in the press release that the song is inspired by the difference in the way she was treated before and after Eurovision success, suggesting that perhaps, you know, once she was a big deal, and once people were like, oh wow, she can win Eurovision, people treated her differently. And her message is, well, look, we all deserve respect regardless of what we've achieved. So before, Yasha had been respecting me too. It's a really nice message. She's saying, take me as I am.
Wasn't she on X Factor too?
Yeah, she was on X Factor, but Eurovision has taken her career to another level. I mean, people saw the international reaction to her, and domestically they saw. And so it's kind of made her, you know, the star that she is.
But hey, William, we've got our girl Victoria standing by. Let her in. Let her in.
Our message with Ugly Cry is very simple, and it is that everyone deserves respect. It is based on my story both after X Factor and Eurovision. I received a lot of praise, and before that, some of those people didn't notice me at all, although I was the same person. And fame sometimes change people, and what I try to do is to keep myself grounded and real.
Well, there you go. She said it far better than we could. I love her sincerity. I love how the music is based on her actual experience. She's not just, I don't know, shopping around, you know, the meat market for songs. Do you know what I mean? She's not saying, give me some salami and a single. She's saying, I'm going to create these songs at my song camp with my people who I trust. Love that. Such a violent thing. That is Ben Dalich, Germany's Eurovision 2020 singer with a violent thing. And Deben, he has revealed on Instagram that he is not going to Eurovision 2021. This is what he wrote. Hey, everyone. I have enjoyed every moment of the Eurovision journey and appreciate everyone who believed in me and has been there every step of the way. This will truly be a chapter in my life that I will always cherish and look back at. My career has taken a different direction. I have grown so much as an artist, and there is still so much more that I want to achieve. I have decided not to participate at the Eurovision next year. It has been a hard and a difficult decision to make, but the right one at this moment in time. Thank you for being with me on this beautiful ride and giving me your love and support. And to the one who will be chosen to represent Germany in Rotterdam 2021, I wish you all well from the bottom of my heart. Enjoy the journey. Now, first, let me just tell you, when I was reading that, you know what I was thinking of?
What were you thinking?
When Miss Universe gives up her crown and she walks down the runway and she tells the other girls, from the bottom of my heart, wear this crown with pride. But look, this is really interesting and it's drawn a lot of mixed reaction. First of all, a lot of people are sad because he was much loved among many, many Eurovision fans. When Germany released the song, people flipped out. They thought it was absolutely amazing.
He won the Wee Wee Jury, which is incredibly difficult to win.
Oh, absolutely. Across all of our different bloggers, just amazing. Colin writes, too bad. His song actually grew on me. It's charming for the disparity of kind of raunchy lyrics and his innocent demeanor. I hope this was indeed his decision. Good luck in your other endeavors, Ben. Now I just hope that Germany manages to find an equally charismatic performer. Now, Deben, that's an interesting comment. He says he hopes it was Ben's decision. And there's a lot of ambiguity here. A lot of people are saying, why would he go away? Was he maybe rejected from the process? And so he's saying that he didn't make it, or was it in fact his decision? It's not totally clear.
Well, I think it was his decision because let's not forget he was internally picked. And the artists that haven't returned for 2021 are those...
He was internally picked last year.
Last year. But a lot of the artists who haven't returned in 2021 are those who have emerged from national selections, which have been part of like the TV culture in their host countries for several years. So pretty much all the internally picked acts kind of are coming back. So I think it would have made sense for him to have come back. I very much believe this was his decision. And to be honest with you, William, I think Ben Dalich really courted a lot of fans. And I think he achieved a lot of what he'd set out anyway, even though the show didn't go ahead. The song, you know, was very much loved by lots of people. He got to work with Symphonics, who are a very respected team. And he's gained lots of new fans. Sometimes you kind of think, you know, why am I even coming back? You know, it's done. It's a bit like Tom Leb. You know, we're just like, we're actually done. You know, there are other projects to pursue. Having this door ajar also means that he could come back either for Germany or Slovenia in a few years' time.
Writing on the WeWe Blogs website, Una says, oh, well, it's sad for me not to see the artist from 2020 on the 2021 stage, but he's made the decision. And if that makes him happy, then all I can say is go, Ben, good luck. You will be missed, though. You know what, Deben? it may be that he didn't believe in whatever song was, you know, part of the selection. Of course, you had to enter this internal selection with the song. Him and Borislav wrote something together. Maybe he didn't feel the song was as good as last year's song. I mean, look at Croatia. Damir Kedjo has come out and said he's not going to enter Dora because he doesn't believe in the songs. And I think a true artist, and Ben is a true artist, only enters when they're fully behind the music. So maybe he just wasn't vibing with his chosen song.
Yeah, he didn't write a violin thing. So, you know, singers like him are reliant on what is submitted. And it is possible he didn't feel that way. That's actually a really good reason. And yeah, and why should you just go and then, well, I wouldn't say self-sabotage because Germany automatically qualifies for a spot in the grand final. But if your goal is to win the whole thing, then even coming second is not good enough.
Amen, hallelujah. Well, look, we, of course, are not in Germany. So let's hear from someone who has his ear to the ground. This is a WeWe blogger, Calvin, who you may remember from Melodi Festival last year. He was out in Sweden doing some interviews, y'all. Here he is.
Hey, William and Devin. First off, it is incredibly sad that Ben won't compete at Eurovision. I mean, he won a multi-stage internal selection. The first internal selection, in fact, in Germany since 2009. And he had a song that was amongst the favorites for many, many people this year. And I feel for all the artists who will not return in 2021 or won't have the opportunity to showcase their talents at Eurovision. This news comes kind of surprising for me in terms of timing. It does feel a bit too late for a completely self-made decision, as the German broadcaster can't start looking for someone else in mid-November, especially with the current format. Symphonics and Ben announced a couple of months ago that they will submit at least one song for 2021, so he probably made this decision to not compete during one stage of the selection process. But I do think we need to ask an honest question here, even though it may sound cruel. Did the hype revolve around Ben as an artist, or about the song Violent Thing itself? Because for me, personally, the answer is pretty clear. It is not like with Iceland or Switzerland, for example. Violent Thing is a great song, and it may have done extremely well, but I had my doubts if Ben can carry that energy to the stage. I do think if he doesn't want to compete again, it is the absolute right decision, especially because he made the decision. It feels just less mean than him being eliminated during the process. But I'm looking forward to what will happen now. Will Symphonics stay with another artist? Will Germany go for another up-tempo song, or are we going to see something completely different? I think there are exciting months ahead of us.
Dankeschön! Oh, Devin, that is so much fun. That is, of course, Little Big from Russia with their song Uno. They were among the favorites to win Eurovision 2020. Now, it's emerged that they have not been given an automatic pass to the next edition of Eurovision. I just want to hear from you quickly. What do you think about that decision by the broadcaster not to automatically reinvite them?
I think it's crazy. I mean, it's you selected them to represent your country at Eurovision. Eurovision didn't take place, so they should get to represent Russia at the earliest opportunity, which would have been 2021. So what's the deal with them?
Well, this has all emerged recently on Instagram. So an Instagram follower posed this question: have you already written a song for Eurovision 2021? And then Ilya Ilyich Pruskin, the band's mustached frontman, answered the question with a simple nope. But then he elaborated. And this is through Google Translate, so it's not going to be smooth. Because it's a competition, you should prepare. Many people think it's automatic that we'll go in 2021, but it's not like that. And then Ilya said, but we may write a song in the near future and we will send a few songs, and if it works out, we'll go. If it doesn't, then we won't go because there is a selection.
Oh, yes.
Basically, all of this just to say there's an internal selection and they have to submit songs. So I wouldn't be worried about the idea they have to submit songs because they know how to write. As we've seen since Uno, you know, they produce hits. They only produce hits. They know how to create earworms. Remember that pizza tortilla video?
No.
I forget what it was called. Sexy Pizza Man. What was it?
I know the one you're talking about. I can see the video now in my sort of face as you're talking about it.
Yeah, you see the dancing hot dog. They know how to work with visuals, work with audio. It's just that they are so on point. I do hope they go, because I think they could give Russia a really competitive shot.
But I also like the fact that, you know, the broadcaster is not complacent as well. That, you know, everyone has to work hard, and it's about picking the best song, you know, pairing that with the best act. And yeah, I know I was kind of harsh earlier on, but actually this is not so bad. So if they get the right song, then they'll get to go. Everyone's a winner.
And I want to quickly shout out to a Russian Eurovision fan. This is Diablo. Writing on the Wooey Blog's website, Diablo says, Russia would be crazy not to send them in 2021. Uno is the most watched video on the Eurovision YouTube channel. And thanks to Little Big being the Russian entrant, many new and younger generations of Russian people have become fans of Eurovision. I'm glad that Little Big is willing to try again and that there is a possibility Russia will send them. Little Big is a breath of fresh air in Russia's Eurovision history, and they will probably change Russians' view of the song contest. Devin, we have Wooey bloggers out in Russia, and they have very big brains and very big opinions. Let's hear from Diana Atanojova right now on her thoughts on the process and Little Big's potential return. Diana, privyet!
Hello, guys. Good evening, good morning, whatever time you're listening to it at. I'm Diana, and this is Helsinki calling. So, as I'm partly Russian, I've known Little Big for quite a while. So when they were revealed as an artist for 2020, it was a very big thing in Russia and in Europe, and I think most of the people, they were pretty satisfied with the Russia's choice to send them, and the song was fun as well. But it was very unfortunate that they didn't really participate in the end. So now, this month, they confessed that they will participate in selection of Russia for 2021. So it's pretty good news. And I expect some very good quality material, because the recent one, it was crazy. I'm really excited about it. And there's no other artist from Russia that I would really like to participate in Eurovision 2021. So yeah, Little Big, they seem like a great choice, and hope they're gonna make it. And I'm looking forward to listen to their song for the selection.
Спасибо большое. Like it wild, yeah, like it wild. She likes it wild, yeah, likes it like it wild. That is, of course, Ray Lee, a finalist from last year's Melody Grand Prix in Norway. Now, Stig Carlson, the project manager for the show, he has released new details about what is going down in Norway. The number of finalists is going to change. Rather than having 10, they're going to have 12. They want more people showing off their skills in the final. And then the semifinals won't be based on regions this time. All six shows will take place in the H3 Arena, which is in Oslo. Now, Devin, I think that's a good idea. Like, I didn't really, as a foreigner, I'm like, I don't get these regions anyway. Like, if it's not in Oslo, I don't know where it is, kind of thing. And so I don't know how much it added in the drama stakes, you know, to say this week is the north of Norway, as opposed to we got some singer slaying from Oslo.
You know what? I mean, they can all come down to Oslo and have a big party. I like the fact that there are 12 finalists now. I always feel like the Norwegian Melody Grand Prix is qualité. Lots of great songs, lots of great acts, lots of great performances. It's really good to kind of just broaden the fun of it. The wild card round does just that.
Now, Devin, before we dive into the wild card, I just want to bring up that the dual format is in place yet again in the semifinals. So you have two duels. The winner of each duel then face each other in kind of a final of each semifinal. And yeah, that's going to still be in place. That's good for drama. However, I think sometimes you get duels that are really evenly matched. Like, you'll have two favorites who sadly have to duel and only one of them can win. So it's great that they're introducing this wild card round later.
Yes, even when you don't have two favorites, sometimes the unsuspecting, half of that pairing can win. I mean, let's take Melody Festival and Laureen Statements. Who did she pair with?
Yeah, it was Anton.
A complete no name versus the household name who everybody thought was actually going to win the whole Eurovision and couldn't even beat this no name pairing. And of course, the grand final of Melody Grand Prix is, this year, I think, will be even more exciting because it does that 50-50 mix like you see at Eurovision, where some acts are internally picked and then some acts are coming through national selection. So it kind of mirrors that in a different kind of way. So you've got six acts that are kind of selected by the broadcaster as kind of handpicked entries. And then you've got 6 acts which are chosen by the public, of which one of those acts emerges from a wild card, from the wild card round. And then on top of that, all 12 now open to the public to choose the winner. I think this is just excitement all round in all 6 shows, right?
I just heard a whole lot of numbers. Just to clarify, 5 winners of the semifinal, 1 wild card winner, and then 6 acts chosen by the broadcaster for the final who don't compete in the semifinals. That adds up to 12.
You know what? Only one of us has a Harvard degree.
Girl. Well, Deben, we have some WeWe bloggers on the ground who are hopefully better with numbers than we are. Let's hear from Lauren.
So, lessons were learned from Melody Grand Prix 2020, but likely not enough. We're getting 1 song more than last year. And of course, it's an automatic qualifier because we totally didn't have enough of those last year. And there's an extra qualification round this time, the Siste Chance. Like Melfest's Andra Chansen, but only 1 song will qualify from it. Which is a step up from last year in my book. But we still didn't fix the major issue. We could have the 3 best songs of the edition in 1 of the semis, and in the unrealistic best case scenario, only 2 will end up qualifying. That's not an issue that exists in Melfest, or Estilaul, even Søngva Kepnin last year circumvented that. And Norway is a good Eurovision country. Our selection always has very good songs to offer, but like Hege Bjerk's Pang last year, these gems sometimes get lost in the semis because of this format. NRK has taken a step in the right direction, but I find it hard to praise them for it. The automatic qualifiers are a concept I can't wrap my head around, but hopefully the gem that is attention was not a one-time thing, and automatic qualifiers will deliver this year as well. We're yet to see. Anyway, let's hope for a good Melody Grand Prix 2021, and may the best song win.
Shalali, shalala, shalali, shalala, so hard to don't repeat. Shalali, shalala, shalali, shalala. Well, my goodness, Deben, Sienica was performing live, and this year for Eurovision 2021, in the face of the pandemic, acts will have to provide a backup where they sing live on tape. Now look, this is just one of the measures which is being implemented in order to ensure that this show will go on regardless of the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, the EBU has released a lot of details about this. All of the participating broadcasters will need to create a live on tape recording prior to Eurovision in May. If a delegation is unable to travel to Rotterdam, or if an artist is forced to quarantine on site, the tape of their live performance will be used instead of the live performance on the Ahoy stage. Now, the EBU explained this in a press release. This is what they had to say. All the participating broadcasters have been asked to record a live performance of their act in their own country. This recording will be delivered prior to the event and will take place in a studio setting. The recording will take place in real time, as it would at the contest, without making any edits to the vocals or any part of the performance itself after the recording. Organizers are branding the move as open up to variety. Thus, unlike Junior Eurovision 2020, broadcasters will not have to meet specific staging guidelines. This is so that the contest can embrace the artistic freedom, creativity, ambition, and style of each of the 41 countries. Now look, Deben, we need to stress this is a backup. This is just a backup in case an artist can't perform or in case an artist has to go into quarantine because they were at the salad bar when they should have been social distancing, okay? What do you make of all this?
You know, I feel like this is one of those backups that will attract a really big budget because you can have multi-camera setup, LED video content, you can have pyro, smoke, wind machine, props, projection. You can do all of that in a clip that potentially nobody ever gets to see. Well, I do hope that they put a lot of credit post Eurovision 2021, when you know we run into the off-peak dry season. I hope that they can start publishing some of these, you know, a bit like Eurovision again without the quarantine, but just for us to kind of mull over. I like it. It's a way of extending the fun of Eurovision and kind of looking back and seeing how their visual story on home ground it into what could have happened.
Yeah, there's a full Q&A which you can read on wiwiblogs.com. One of the interesting questions is, can a country submit their national selection performance where appropriate? So could Melody Festival just record, you know, send the recording from the actual show? And the EBU says no. The live on tape backup should be a unique recording and not be publicly available before the event in May. A national selection set can be used, however, and similarities are fine. I can already see it though, you know, a tape will emerge that was recorded in 2014 and there'll be this whole drama. Now, Deben, as you know, the same 41 countries from Eurovision 2020 are competing at Eurovision 2021. So the EBU decided there was no point in conducting another semifinal allocation draw. This is what Executive Supervisor Martin Osterdahl said on the matter. With the same participating countries as last year, the reference group decided that it made sense for both ticket holders and for participating broadcasters to keep the same semifinal draws as 2020. So essentially, he's saying people who bought tickets to the first show, the first semifinal, they know who they're going to see. People who have tickets for the second semifinal, they know who they're going to see. People who were in the grand final, they don't know who they're going to see because it's not been decided. And also for the countries, this is useful for budgeting. If you're, you know, competing in the first half of the first semifinal, you got to have a little bit extra cash for your hotel rooms because you're there for several more days. That's several people. I mean, it makes a difference of tens of thousands of euros. So on a practical level, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I think a lot of people were hoping there'd be a new draw so they'd get out of a difficult semifinal. A lot of people said Ireland is in a bit of a pinch. What do you make of all this?
I think the fairest way to do it is to keep it as it is. So it's only a difficult semi-final to get out of if you submit a really weak song. So try harder. You should be crafting songs for the victory, not for qualification. But I guess our deputy editor, Robin Gallagher in New Zealand, has a lot to say on this matter.
So this week, the EBU confirmed that Eurovision 2021 will stick with the semi-final allocations that were decided earlier this year for Eurovision 2020. It's a decision that makes a lot of sense. The exact same 41 countries from 2020 will be returning to participate in 2021, so there's not really anything new to take into consideration. The EBU have also said that keeping the same semi-final allocations is good news for fans planning to attend the semis. Anyone with a ticket to see their favourite country compete in a particular semi-final won't have to worry about that changing next year. But sadly, it means we won't get the traditional handover ceremony that includes the host city insignia exchange. But that handover has already taken place. In January, at a ceremony in Rotterdam City Hall, a representative from Tel Aviv added their insignia to the giant Eurovision keyring and officially put things in the hands of Rotterdam. And in these uncertain pandemic times, it does make sense not to make plans for a ceremony that may not be able to go ahead anyway due to social distancing requirements. But while the semi-final allocations are locked in, the exact running order is still to be decided. As always, the show producers will create the running order based on the competing songs in order to create a good show. It's fairer on the acts too, meaning there's no risk of having, say, five ballads in a row. But the one act who does have a confirmed place in the running order is Jean-Guy McCroy. As the act for host country the Netherlands, his grand final place was randomly drawn at the 2020 semi-final allocation draw. He'll be sticking with that position, so expect to see Jean-Guy and his new song performing 23rd at the grand final in May. The Dutch producers will decide the semi-final running order once all the songs for Eurovision 2021 have been confirmed. In past years, this has been announced in around April. Until then, though, as the songs for 2021 are revealed, fans can get busy creating their own fantasy running orders. Let's see how correct they are. Oh my god, this took me so long to do because I kept mispronouncing Jean-Guy. I know, Jean-Guy. Instead of saying Jean-Guy, I would say Jean-Guy, but I got it right that time. Yay! Anyway, thank you. Bye.
Yeah.
Oh, Devin, you sound good. Just like Era Russi, one of the favorites to win Fic 59. Look, the songs are out and we should just keep this broad and brief, but there is quality in this selection. This is exciting. It is not clear who will win. This will come down to the live staging. They've got big name artists and there is diversity of song. You know, in the span of a few songs that we've reviewed already on the Wooby Blogs YouTube channel, we go from ethno-pop bangers to kind of contemporary spiritual ballads. I mean, there is so much on show here. I am living and loving this.
And what I like this year particularly is that the male stars are not holding back. You know, I mean, like Mirud, for instance, you know, he's getting down. And I love that. You know, this is not just a, you know, a girl's sing out competition. It's like the male stars are in it to win it too.
Oh yes, Eric Loshi, he is serving something real smooth as well. Kind of Albanian R&B pop. There's just so much to like about so many artists. You know, I've not actually filmed all of my reaction videos yet because I'm saving several because, well, I've not had time. If I'm just being honest, I've not had time to do them. But there's still more songs to listen to and I am just so excited.
Wow, I'm excited to see what your choices are because I never quite know until the video gets published. And then I'm okay, so you like it too.
I'm keeping it on the DL, hunty. But look, someone else who is excited is our man, Erdi. He is here with the buzz from Albania. Erdi, honey, what can you tell us? Who is the favorite? What do we know about the jury? Just dish, girl, dish.
Festivali I Këngës songs are out and seems like Albanian public and Euro fans already have some favorites. Among the names that are talked the most to get a trophy and the right to represent Albania in upcoming Eurovision are Angela Peristeri with Karma, Ines Nezire with Pendes, Mirud with Nësevdes, and Era Russi with Zjari Im. These are also the songs with the most viewer on YouTube. Of course, until the Festivali I Këngës kicks out, we will not know the names of juries for this year. But one thing is sure that this year Festivali I Këngës judges will be 100% Albanian. Also, our sources have told us that the first two nights of festival will be pre-recorded few days before the grand final, but the grand final of festival will be broadcasted live from Italia Square in Tirana, Albania.
All right, Devin, the world of Eurovision is always churning out that new music, and our new music editor, Jonathan Vortry, he has his finger on the pulse, okay? His ear is on the ground, okay? His eyes are on the prize, hunty, and he's here with his choices for this week, including an artist who was meant to sing at Eurovision 2020. Jonathan, take it away.
Greece's Eurovision 2021 singer Stefania is encouraging people to remain socially distanced when with other people in her latest single titled Swipe. The star is also returning to her native Dutch language for this song and collaborates with fellow Dutch singer Rhein. It's a catchy pop track with a fairly repetitive chorus that's easy to remember, which is good when you're trying to get a message across. The video sees Stefania and Ryan encouraging people to remain socially distanced while also teaching them the swipe dance move that they've come up with for the video. They're showing that while we might have to be separated slightly from those around us at the moment, that doesn't mean that we can't have a bit of fun in the meantime. Another collaboration this week comes from Ukrainian artists Kazka and Alexeev. Ukraine's Eurovision National Final contestants Kazka have recently started to release an online cartoon series titled Kazka, The Secret of Charm Voice. This will include a storyline as well as new music from the group. The first song from this project is called Poruch, which translates as side by side, and the group have invited Belarus's Eurovision 2018 singer Alexeev to join them for this song. It's an atmospheric duet that sees the artists singing about how they'll be by each other's side despite what life might throw at them. Alexeev and Kazka vocalist Oleksandra both started their careers in the same team of The Voice of Ukraine 6 years ago, so it's nice to see them together collaborating again in an actual recording.
Well, Deben, thank you so much for the engaging chat. I feel caught up to speed. As ever, this podcast was produced by Samuel George. Your co-presenters are William Lee Adams,
Deben Adoramy,
and we will see you later.
Bye!
Bye! How you gonna slay today? Hey, hey. How you gonna slay today?
Hey, hey.
How you gonna slay today? Hey, hey. How you gonna slay today?